Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health and Happy New Year. So today I am going to be going over a blog post that was originally written as a guest post by Kristen Wells on the fitness benefits of cutting down on sugar. So first of all, if you're looking for a list of New Year's resolutions, this is definitely one I would suggest you put on your list, is cutting out sugar. Not a lot of people do that because they've just kind of picked out over the holidays anyway, but sugar is the main component that is associated with cardiovascular diseases like heart attacks and strokes. And the reason is because, so think of sugar as granular, right? So it will damage the blood vessel lining. And then as a result of that, because now it's damaged, you have to have a Band-Aid on top of that. And that Band-Aid is LDL, the quote unquote bad cholesterol. So your body will then try to create a Band-Aid with this cholesterol in order to allow your body to heal it. And that's fine if that's only happening occasionally, but if there's lots and lots and lots of that damage, you can get those accumulating, and then you end up with plaques over time. You can get narrowing arteries, and then, of course, you can also get it to dislodge and then have strokes from that, too. Also, of course, insulin resistance and diabetes, it is the chief contributor to that. If you're type 2, rather, specifically, if you have too much sugar over a long period of time, it's the whole boy that cried wolf kind of a scenario, where you're producing insulin from your pancreas in order to get the glucose into your cells. But after a while, if you constantly need more and more and more insulin, then your pancreas begins, or your cells begin to stop listening as much, right? So that is insulin resistance. And if you let it go too long, then that becomes type 2 diabetes. And then, of course, obesity. So glucose cannot be stored as glucose. It gets stored as triglycerides, which is fat. And then that also gets packaged into LDL, the bad cholesterol. But your LDL, the reason it's considered bad cholesterol is because its job is to take the glucose that is packaged into triglycerides and then put into LDL. LDL shuttles it out from your liver into your peripheral tissues and dumps it out where it becomes fat. So that is one of the main reasons that it's associated with that. And there's plenty of studies that also indicate that sugar also feeds cancer. So if cancer is present, and everybody has little bits, you know, tiny little cancers that pop up all over the place, and the immune system is designed to try to knock that out. But the more sugar you're eating, the more you're feeding it, and you're counteracting your immune function to be able to suppress it. And also, when you're eating sugar, you are knocking down your immune function in general. So that's kind of two for one in two opposite directions. So those are all really good reasons to put that high on your list. But another thing to think about too, because, you know, 2020 was a very stressful year for an awful lot of us. And another thing to think about is the fact that your stress hormone cortisol that is produced by your adrenals, one of its main jobs is to keep glucose stable in your bloodstream between meals. And the best way that you can do that without having your adrenals have to do that is by having frequent small meals with protein to help stabilize your blood sugar. If you eat lots of glucose, you end up with a roller coaster. So then you're going to have the initial hyperglycemia, too much glucose, spike. Then your pancreas produces a bunch of insulin. All of that glucose rushes into your cells all at once. Now it is hypoglycemia. Your glucose crashes, or your blood sugar levels crash, and your adrenals are the ones that have to compensate for that, unless, of course, you then give in and start eating more sugar, and then you kind of perpetuate that process. But it's really tiring for your adrenals to be dealing with hypoglycemia. So if your adrenals are so busy trying to stabilize your blood glucose and that they're not able to give you enough cortisol for dealing with like regular inflammatory circumstances or stressful conditions in your life, you're not going to be able to function in your day-to-day activities particularly well. So all of those are good reasons to focus on this. Additionally, you are going to, because of the hypoglycemia component largely, you're going to have a harder time working out particularly effectively if you have elevated glucose. Also, sugar helps your orexin cells, the cells that regulate appetite and wakefulness, stay active, or the keeping your sugar levels down rather help that. So that's another good reason to do that. So since most of us are planning on, if you don't already have a fitness regimen, then this is a good time to start. That's a good thing to keep aware of as well. So frequent small meals, particularly if you do have some hypoglycemia, if you're already on something of a blood sugar roller coaster, that is a really good place to start to try to stabilize. And make sure you have whole foods and protein every time you eat in order to help stabilize your blood sugar. Plan your snacks in advance, because if you let yourself get hungry, then you're probably going to go find whatever happens to be easily available and sounds good to you at the time. But if you've already got fruits and, some fruits and some nut butter, or some vegetables chopped up already and some hummus, or something that you can grab quickly that you've pre-prepared, you're going to set yourself up for success. So that's a really good plan. The other thing I would say is if you haven't already created the habit of that, make a plan, maybe get your calendar out and plan that once a week you will go to the grocery, do your grocery shopping for the week, planning basically your snacks and your easy quick meals, and then pre-prepare them on a weekend if you've got the time to do that, or whenever you have the time to do that, so that you have the ability to grab them quickly and go. And if you schedule it, you're much more likely to actually do it. And while we're at it, I would also say if you're trying to start an exercise regimen, having it scheduled out on your calendar is another really, really great way to make sure that you actually do it. Set yourself up for success. And doing it at the same time, if you're going to do it every day, do it at the same time every day. That also helps to solidify habits that way as well. The other thing to note from the healthy eating standpoint, and also to help you with your fitness, is to make sure that you're drinking plenty of water. Water is going to just kind of give you, you need plenty of fluid for detoxification purposes and obviously hydration and all of that, but it's going to help with your fitness. And also it'll help you stay full. It'll help you feel full. So it's one of the tricks if you actually were trying to fast, for instance. Drinking water helps to trick your stomach, at least briefly, into thinking it's full. So the more fluid you drink, the easier it is. You don't necessarily have to use that as your primary strategy unless for some reason you can't snack, in which case I would definitely go for that. But if you are used to eating lots of sugary treats, then I would definitely try to make sure that you're choosing whole foods, complex carbohydrates, combine them with protein or fat in order to help stabilize you. And if you're really sugar addicted and you're going to have a hard time, maybe look into at least switching to higher quality sugars. So instead of the highly processed stuff, go for maple syrup, go for honey, go for coconut palm sugar. All of those are lower glycemic index than what you would get from the highly processed sugars, meaning that they don't hit your bloodstream quite as quickly. They also have some nutrient value in them, so that's helpful as well. So all of those are things to kind of keep in mind. I actually prefer stevia or monk fruit because those don't have any sugar in them. They also, unlike the sugar alcohols, which are like anything ending in all, sorbitol, maltitol, galactitol, those kinds of things, those will make everybody gassy at a certain threshold. If you have SIBO, it'll be a lot lower at that threshold. So that's kind of the main issue with those, because they don't get broken down until they get to your gut, and then the bacteria in your gut will break them down for you. But if you don't have that problem, those are a fine choice. The stevia and the monk fruit do not have that effect. They do have a bit of an aftertaste, so that's kind of the downside. But if you need a little bit of something like in your tea and you're looking to substitute out sugar, or in your coffee or something like that, that would be a good thing to try. So set yourself up for success this year. Figure out not just what you plan to do, but help yourself make a plan of how you're actually going to execute your New Year's resolutions, and you'll be much more likely to actually stay on track. And the other little tip I would add is check in with yourself. Put like a time in your schedule to check in and say, how did I do last week? Every week, so that you can actually look back and then say, maybe I didn't do so great because there was this birthday party, or there was this other activity, or there was something that kind of derailed the progress, but I'm going to get back on the horse next time. And it'll be a lot easier for you to do that if you have a regular review time set up. So I hope that helps you. Happy New Year, and I hope 2021 is great.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
If you're hearing this right now, you're probably like, who the heck is this? And why are they playing during my favorite podcast? And I get it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to introduce myself. My name is Trevor Tyson, and I'm the host of Trevor Talks, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. I just want to invite you, if you love podcasts, if you love music, if you love books and love hearing from the people who create it, come check us out at Trevor Talks. Simply go to Google or Life Audio, type in Trevor Talks, and it'll pop on up. Hope you have a great day.